Give me King James, please. Let me do what I'm used to. Okay, church, let's open to Isaiah 41, verse 10. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Can we celebrate our media? Celebrate them.
Hallelujah.
Are we there? Are we there? Isaiah 41, verse 10. Can we read together? Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will keep you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Somebody say righteous right hand. Righteous. Say it again, righteous right hand. Be bold enough to say the righteous right hand. Can you just say, open your mouth and just say, oh God, help me to listen to your word today, that this word will be a blessing unto me. Just open your mouth and make a decree of heaven, that indeed I will be blessed from the word that comes from the proceeding throne of grace. Indeed, in the name of Jesus, blessed be God forevermore. Thank you, mighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Church, you may majestically take your seats in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Before we go into the word, I would like to say that how many of us are in need of water baptism? How many of us? Okay. We'll be starting the baptism class from the first week of February. That will be next week Sunday, right? That'll be next. Is it next week Sunday or Pastor? Next week Sunday, yes. And we're going to be having it just 1 hour class every Sunday. Just a 1 hour class after service. So for those of us that indicated interest, please, we'll be starting our classes by then. See, attendance is not an option for you. It is compulsory. You don't have, it is yes or yes, and it is at 100%. We are not leaving any stone unturned. If you have not undergone water baptism, this is an opportunity for you as well. Please, water baptism is not sprinkling water on the face. It's not that. It's by immersion. Hallelujah. And that is what we want to do. I'm not teaching on water baptism today, but I say, please, let's have a clarification on that. The Lord bless us all in Jesus' name. Father, speak to us expressly that we will know that which is from your throne this day in the matchless name of Jesus. People of God, we've been teaching about the proceeding word. And thank God for a brother that asked me today that he didn't actually get the breakdown of the proceeding word. And I think we'll start a bit from there. Now, when we talk about the proceeding word, we are talking about everything called prophecy, everything called promises, everything that pertains godliness and righteousness unto the life of a Christian that comes directly from the throne of grace, or that comes from the mouth of Jesus in the scripture, or that comes from the throne of grace, meaning God said it himself. When we talk about the proceeding word, we are talking to about those words that come into your life and they are alive. In the Bible, even the devil spoke, Oshay, you know. Eh? In the Bible, men spoke, right? In the Bible, analogies were made. In the Bible, prophecy, parables were made. But there are some specific words that was said from the mouth of God that it is for you and I as believers today. Hallelujah. And today is one of such days that we are going to be looking at something that goes in that direction. People of God, there are 8 areas of emphasis where we dwell upon. When we minister, most of us ministers of God dwell upon these 8 principles or 8 areas. Number one area, I've not given you the topic for today, so don't write this as the topic. Hallelujah. Number one, we preach about salvation and soul winning. We preach salvation and soul winning. Number two, we preach transformation. Number three, we preach empowerment. Number four, we preach on the supernatural or the miracles of God. Number five, we preach victory and dimensions. Then we preach leadership and purpose. Or rather, we teach unity and love. Lastly, we teach what is called fulfillment through Christ. So when you hear any word that comes in this direction, they are actually the preceding word for you. Because every word that we preach must touch at least one aspect of these eight. Hallelujah. And so today, we are going to be looking at what I tagged the right hand of God. The right hand of God. Our scripture made us to understand, just like we said from last week, that God said he is going to put everything together. And we say you will not have a choice, meaning no chance for you to even put your thoughts, no chance for you to even put your imagination. The Bible says that God is able to do exceedingly above all that you could think or imagine. It means before you even thought of a thing, God has answered it. So that was why he said in Amos, is it 3:9 or 9:3? He says, the plowman shall overtake the harvester. It means that before you even plant, a harvest is waiting for you. Those things are done by the right hand of God. Before you apply for a job, it is already waiting for you. People of God, should I shock you? Should I shock you? I have never applied for a job, including the one I'm doing today. Hallelujah. Now, those are the doings of the right hand of God. And that is why Isaiah 41 says, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. This is the proceeding word coming out from the mouth of God. He says, fear not. He said, I, God, I am with thee. What does he say? He said, be not dismayed or be not troubled. Can I have this in NLT? NLT, please. Yes, this explanation better for me. In NLT. He said, thank you. He said, for I am with you. He said, don't be discouraged. When the troubles of life comes to you, the scripture says, don't be discouraged. This is God telling you himself. He says, for I am your God. It means that he is taking over all that concerns you. Do you know that some of us believe more in government system than even in our God? I'll prove it to you. Do you know that anyhow, you know by month end your salary is coming, so you don't even pray for it. Do you understand? So there is a particular trust you have placed on the accounting system of the federation that at the end of the month, you're, apart from pastor, sir. Pastor has not been paid. We must call on heaven. That gate where women mount, they must open the gate. Hallelujah. But you have a belief on the accounting system that at the end of the month, your salary is paid. Am I right about that? What of your God? How much confidence do you have on your God? That when you fall into trouble, he is there to pull you out. Do you see that we say, Father, we love you. Father, we depend on you. Yet our action proves otherwise. It says, for I am your God. I am your God means that I am your sustenance. I am your dependence. I am the one that you can call upon. You cannot do anything outside me. He said, I will strengthen you and help you. And he says, I will hold you with my victorious right hand. People of God, it means that that hand that is carrying you has already conquered. Am I communicating now? Let me ask you a question. For those of us that are daddies and mommies, let me put this example scenario. Maybe your child is somewhere playing and is about to fall down. And you are privileged to be close and you want to catch the son or your child. Which of the hands will you use? I will tell you the truth. If you are right-handed, it is the right hand you will go with. If you are left-handed, it is the hand that you will go with. Listen, this right hand of God means the right hand of strength. It is your hand that has strength that you will go with. Why? That child is valuable. Am I communicating? So when God is saying my victorious right hand, it's because he's holding something very precious. He doesn't hold it with his weak hand. Meaning that, you know, if you hold a child, because of the weight of the child, you might be pulled down if you are not strong enough, like Uncle Jay. If you are not strong enough, you can fall. But listen, when you are doing such, you will rush with your right hand. In fact, if possible, you will join both hands to hold that child. Why? You place so much value on that child. That is the same value God has put upon you. God is saying that when I am coming to your rescue, I am coming with the whole of my victories. God is saying, I am coming to your aid with the whole of I am. He says, for I am your God. He says, I am coming to you with the whole of my help. I am coming to you with the whole of my mercies. People of God, listen to me very well this day. When a man wants to sign an important document, what hands does he use? It is the hand of victory. You don't sign. Listen, if you are right-handed, don't mind me. Or can I just use the right hand, meaning whether you are left-handed, I'm just understand that we are talking about strength. Doc, yes, I know him, left-handed. Yes, this one, right here, I know. This one, right here. Hallelujah. When you are signing a document and you are right-handed, you don't use your left hand to sign it. Am I right? Why? Because you place value on that document. It means that if you see your signature on that document, you know it is yours. Am I right about that? So you will not use your left hand because the same signature you are signing with your hand of strength, when you use the other hand, they will not look the same. Unless if you're dexterous with both hands. They will not look the same. It means in this sense that God signed you with his right hand of strength so that you cannot have a counterfeit. God is signing you. We said it now, that your testimony is God's signature. The overflowing of God's oil upon your life is the signature of God. It means that what God is doing in your life cannot be counterfeited. It means that what God is doing in your life cannot be altered. It means that what God is doing in your life cannot be truncated. It means that God signs you with a seal of approval. The right hand of God. There is an approval on your head that you will not fail. So, I didn't hear somebody say amen. There is an approval on your head that you will not fail. There is an approval upon your head that you will not beg for bread. Listen, even in the times of help, God has put a seal upon you that you will look for help and God himself will help you. What does this right hand mean? It means that God, it means God's strong hand. It means God's helping hand. It means God's trusted hand. God is saying that with all this is when he is coming to your rescue with. With all of this, God is coming to your aid in times of need. Listen, don't look at the right hand of God only in times of trouble. Even in times of joy, his right hand is there with you. People of God, you can rejoice and rejoice negatively. I hope you know. We learned from yesterday when we were talking about emotional intelligence during our workers' retreat. Listen, there are mistakes you make when you are angry. And there are the same mistakes you make when you are overexcited. But the right hand of God will be with you. Even when you are excited, you will not fail God. Somebody, can I make a prophecy upon your life? Can I make a declaration upon your life? No emotion will take you out of the presence of God in the name of Jesus. Listen, whether pain, joy, anger, whatever it is, it will never make you miss the mark in the name of Jesus. I didn't hear that, your amen. Amen. People of God, listen. What does this God's right hand mean? It means that God does not have a physical body like us. So when the Bible talks about the right hand of God, it is not talking about fingers. It is talking about how God acts. It's talking about the swiftness of action of God towards your life. The right hand of God. The right hand of God means power. The right hand of God means authority. It means that God is stepping into the matter and taking charge. What does the right hand of God mean? It means that God is doing something about your matter that only him can resolve. I wrote an analogy here in my notes. I say, imagine when NEPA takes light, like Some of our areas, if I call names now, some people will attack me. Some of our areas where there is no light. Maybe let me say in Abuja, all Kefi has light, all right? All the whole of Kefi has light, including FMC. There's light everywhere. Hallelujah. Now, in some areas where you don't have light, and then you people have bombarded NEPA office. Oh, sorry, those people have bombarded NEPA office. NEPA no here there. And then all of a sudden, one man just picks up his phone. Maybe he just comes back from a vacation. And he enters his house and discovers there is no light. He just picks up the phone. One name, Kedu, how are you doing? I don't have light at home. NEPA brings light. What is the difference between all of the community's voice that gathered and went to the NEPA office and that single one man's voice that didn't even go there? He needn't to be there. Oh, he just made a phone call and the light was restored. People of God, that is power, that is authority. That is exactly what the right hand of God does. You don't need to see God physically there. God has made a phone call through his word. So as far as you are there, his word will be there and the manifestation of that miracle takes place. That is what we mean by the right hand of God. If that is you, please celebrate Jesus. People of God, listen. Listen very well today. Why does God use his right hand? Number one is to help his children. Isaiah 41 says, I will uphold you with my right hand. He's talking to his children, people of God. You cannot enjoy the right hand of God if you live outside Christ. The qualification for you to be held by the right hand of Christ is what we talked about today. Purging yourself and setting yourself aside to be consecrated and to be blessed and helped of God. You need that repentance. You need that setting aside. Show me a man that things are not working for a very long time. I will tell you a man that has not purged all. Though sometimes trials may come, agree. But listen, God can never leave someone in the times of despair. See, believe you me, I have tested that, and it's impossible for God to leave you at such times. Unless you have not aligned yourself with the will of God, his right hand is ever present. We say, number one, why does God use his right hand? Number one, to help his children. Number two of this means that the right hand of God is there to fight our battles. The word says that his right hand is ever there. People of God, do not forget, the battle is the hand that God uses to make that victory. Oh, he fought the battle and he had victory. So he says, I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. He fights your battles. Number three. He said, there are battles you cannot fight by talking. There are problems you cannot solve by planning. He said, but when God fights for you, your enemies get tired of what? First. The devil gets tired when God is the one fighting for you. Kai. We talked about Pantokrator last week. Was it last week I said that? Talk about Pantokrator. Listen. He won the fight and he gave me the victory. That is what it means. God did the fight and gave you the victory. So we spoke about it like a boxer. Who's the world champion now? I know they've collected it from AJ and no boxing lovers in there. If now football, I say Champions League now. Some people in the front would have shouted, hallelujah. Nobody knows. Okay, let me just use the analogy. A boxer goes into the ring. He fights three minutes of 12 rounds. Being boxed and punched. Battered and bruised. He's bleeding everywhere. In fact, some of them faint even there. In fact, some, they will knock them down. They will do like men that have drank chronic ogororo. And they will roll on the ground. They will manage to get up. Still fighting because they want the victory. And then when they finish and they are giving that belt, that crown, they are giving the belt. They put it, but listen to me. The whole world is celebrating them as champions. But the man goes home, remove the belt, and give it to his wife that never did anything.
Maybe the wife, they say, this is your boxing thing, self. I don't even like him. You know, women, they say, you, I don't want you this thing. But yet, you fought that fight. You came back and gave the wife the victory. That is exactly what God has done for you. God fought all your battles for you. He won all the victories. You didn't do anything to warrant it. It was for God so loved. He just gave you everything that he had, his son. He gave it to you on a platter of gold, free and charged. You didn't do anything. He fights our battles. Number three. To protect us from hard times. Like a mother holding a child while crossing a busy road, God holds us so that we don't get crushed by life. God hold us so that you don't get crushed by life. People of God, listen. What are these benefits? What are the benefits of this right hand? What are these benefits? Number one, listen, we just talked about why does God use his right hand? And we say number one, to help his children. Number two, to fight our battles. Number three, to protect us in hard times. But now we're going to look at the benefits of the right hand of God. What are these benefits? Number one, he says the benefit is that you will not fail. When God is the one holding you, you will not fail. People of God, let me reverse this thing the other way around. It means when I'm failing, I have left the hands of God. Am I communicating? Number two, it says the benefits of the right hand of God tells us that you will win without stress. Number three, you will be promoted. When God lifts you up, nobody pulls you down. God. You people didn't know what is going on in this country. When Christopher Musa was pulled out of office, you know there was a serious plot against him. Maybe I should off this mic because some of these sensitive things. People of God, listen, when they did that to him, they thought that they have finished him. Pause that thing. Hallelujah. We say the benefit. He say you will be promoted. We say number one, the benefit, you will not fail. Number two, you will win without stress. Number three, you will be promoted. Number four, you are in safe. Okay, sorry, you are safe even in bad times. You are safe even in bad times. Bad times here means in troubled times. Bad here means in times of worry, in times of distress. He said, even when the world is shaking, God's hands does not shake. People of God, let me be clear here. For those of us that are on Facebook, all these likes that we have on social media, all the likes can never support you. Listen, ba, when you are in trouble on social media, I've not seen the likes helping somebody out of that trouble. Am I communicating? So it means that not everybody that say they like what you are doing are actually in support of what you are doing. Not everybody that likes you will actually come to your aid in the times of trouble. It is only those that love you that comes to you in times of trouble. It is only God that loves you deep enough for him to come to your rescue in times of trouble. People of God, what are you meant to do? Rely on that God. Dwell in that God. Walk in that God. Dwell in his word. And that is why we say dwelling in the preceding word. You must dwell with him. This is how you get the like and the love of God. I don't know what I'm communicating. This is how you get God's like and then God's love. All the emojis you care to think of that are good, this is where you can get it, where you dwell in the word of God. Listen, the way you handle God, bah, is like when your phone battery is low. When your phone battery is low, listen, you don't, thank God, say, despite solar, There are some phones that you don't even charge with solar. Am I communicating? But when your phone battery is low, you always look for where there is electricity or whatever source to connect to the phone. And there must be something that will connect called a charger. Am I right about that? There is something called a charger that connects the electricity to the phone. Now, the function of that charger is that the current that comes from that electricity will actually destroy your phone. That charger comes as a step-down transformer that steps down that power into your phone before it boosts the battery. People of God, God is that electricity, and you need His word to connect into your life, which is the phone, before you will charge. People of God, the battery that you need to be charged is your life, is the situation that surrounds your life. God Himself is the electricity. The charger is His word. You need to get connected to God through His word. And not just every word, the preceding word that talks about the goodliness, the godliness and the good things of life that he has promised you. The righteousness, the salvation of God is what he's talking about. These are what we call about the preceding word, people of God. People of God, listen to me very well today. Right hand means God is stable, that God is strong, that your God is secured. This thing, people of God, when your phone dies, and then the battery is unchargeable, it means there is something wrong with that life. It means that, do you understand what I'm saying? When you plug your phone, there is electricity, the charger is working, but the phone refuses to charge. What do you think would have been the problem? Sir? It's bad. What does that mean? Your mindset has been altered. This is why sometimes we don't get charged by the word of God. Your mindset. That is your charging point. Your mindset has been corrupted by the things of this world. People of God, this mindset is not a difficult thing. No, it is what you think about always. This morning when I was coming, we passed through that total side, there is one joint where they were selling this local gin. And then we saw some boys in their numbers. They gathered their men, not even boys, men. They gathered there. And the bike man I was on, a Muslim, said, "Where in Nambasuda Aiki, Ranlahadi, the Sapima, Barasuja, Sujadaba." He says that these people don't have work to do on a Sunday morning. They can't even go for worship. Muslim. And when I turned and looked at their faces, and I looked at them. Funny enough, yesterday too, when I was coming from Abuja, when I dropped that early in the morning, I came to this FMC, some few minutes to seven, I entered here. Imagine by that time of the morning, I met somebody was drunk already that morning. And when he came to me, "Hey, Pastor," for him to have even met me and called me Pastor, the thing was a slap on my face. So this man knew I'm a pastor. At that level, he still came to me. And I told him, I said, "Brother, you are bigger than this. I say you're bigger than this. I say your life is more valuable than this thing you're putting inside. You know why? The mindset is gone. Their heart have been snared with iron. Just like Pharaoh." We're all reading our scripture. Pharaoh knew the truth that letting these people go is what God has said. But his heart was hardened. His charging port has been corrupted by evil. People of God, check what do you have in your minds. What are your driving principles in life? What pushes you forward in life? What are those things that triggers you in this life? We talked about emotion yesterday. And when Pastor wrote fear, anger, jealousy, what is it? And even insecurity. When he wrote that, some of us, insecurity has pushed us from that charger. So many things, some of us anger our mindset. Some of us, by our mouth self, has put us in so much trouble. Do you watch what you say? How about what you think? There is a book I read some time back. I don't know where I kept that. Stinking thinking. I don't know whether somebody has read it. Stinking thinking. That means your thoughts are smelling. That is how some of us, I will go and look for that book again. I read it when I think I was early, either mid-90s or early, before 2000. I read that book, Stinking Thinking. Some of us, our mindset has that charging point is, don't forget there is electricity. Don't forget that the charger is functioning well. Don't forget the battery is there. The battery is your heart. The battery is there for it to connect, but that charging port has been corrupted. What do you store in your heart? What do you store in your mind? What is the driving force that keeps you going in life? You must define them. Hear me. The right hand of God means direction. The right hand of God means direction. Here, many youths are tired because they are busy, not because they are busy, not because they are full of purpose, no, but because they are purposeless. They don't have a direction in life. So even life itself will tire you. See, but I like addressing youths and children most times when I teach. Why? Because some of the daddies and mommies, some of them have passed through this level and they crossed well. Some of them, come out, they are doing damage control at that point. But for youths and children, you have the opportunity to get it right the first time. And that is why we are always laying emphasis on it. So that you will know, people of God, if you don't have a purpose in life, you will never have a direction. What is your direction in life? I like it when I hear somebody say, like our brother said this morning, that this is his favorite scripture. I like when I hear that. Because when somebody tells you this is his favorite scripture, you have an idea of where the direction this one is going to in life. The Bible says, you will show me the path of life. A path means there is a direction and there is a destination. Praise the name of the Lord. The right hand of God also means favor. It says, you will favor without stress. You will not suffer, just like we said last week. We said that God says even the plumber will overtake the sower, right? And the harvesters, all right? It means that God favors you before you even act. God favors you. Look at our brother Moses. People of God, as funny as this thing might sound, when he was in that predicament, it wasn't funny. When he was in that predicament, it wasn't funny. In fact, when I was going to, that year we went to Ghana. When we were going to Ghana, somebody stopped our vehicle and we were telling him that we be one now. We are Nigerians. The man told us that we are not one. Wow. The officer, immigration, I don't know that. They are uniforms. You know, it's not our own. So you cannot even say which one is police, which one is soldier, which one. The uniform, it just there as it is. You understand? They're like Kampala. For those of you that know Kampala. The uniform is looking like Kampala. And then when we are saying that, Oga, we are all West African brothers. We are all in the ECOWAS family. Can't you treat us as one? Kai. But do you know Nigerians, we are blessed. Let me tell you one secret in case you don't know. Anywhere, Bro Moses, when you are walking there, when people see you, they just know that you don't belong to them. As a Nigerian, your skin is even different. You see this sweat pour you're seeing on your skin is as a result of good living that God has blessed you. Go to some other countries, they don't even sweat. See, if you travel Africa, but you see some countries that you could wonder, what are these people like human beings? Have you been to Kenya? My goodness God. People of God, see, immediately we're going in the bus, they will stop us. It was ABC transport. We went by road. My brother, that example Reverend Thomas was making yesterday, that say flight or money. Auntie Grace, Auntie Grace says she go use flight. People of God, that's her answer set too well for my heart. My brother, if I had followed flight, I would not have passed through such embarrassment. My brother, they will look at us. They knew those of them that were Ghanaians inside the vehicle. They knew those that were Francophone. Speaking Francophones in the car, man of God, they will pull us down. You calm down. You know the way NDLEA used to bring out those people that their eyes look funny. That's how they were bringing us. Yes, in Nigerian. You say yes, Nigerian. Before they say passport, you bring out passport. Oh, but I say, okay, leave my passport. Okay, I am an ECOWAS citizen. They will not hear. After they finish this, they will say your luggage. You bring out your, okay, then go come out your shirt one by one. All the iron, you know, like the way a pastor is looking smooth now. All these shirts where you iron, they go come out them one by one. They will begin to search the pockets. this downside of the pocket. The harassment is too much. And we were students. I was still in the University of Jos there. And I was telling them that, okay, I am going for a conference. I'm going for a national conference. I'm not, see my past, see my, you're talking, okay. They will now turn and speak French to somebody. Then they will laugh, like say, look at this idiot. and they continue the search. And they are searching in case, maybe you don't smoke weed, you know. And if they find you with a lighter, or, you know this nail cutter that has a small knife, inside of it. So they will not write that they caught you with a nail cutter. They will say they caught you with a weapon. God bless you, sir. And the weapon is a knife. And the way they will write the knife in capital letter, it's like saying that dragon sword. Now you hold. They will just... The harassment is too much. See, but if you don't know that you are blessed, but you need to go and see other people. When they make example and say, go to the hospital. Thank God we all work in the hospital setting, most majority of us, and we also fellowship around here. So we do see people in need. People, you never see people in need. When we went for United Nations program, and they took us, we saw, you know that picture, I don't know that some of you have seen it on Facebook, where a child, because of hunger, is about to die, and a vulture is there waiting for the child to die. People of God, you need to see that kind of thing for you to know that you have been blessed. Say they don't pay you salary or you don't get work, you are complaining. People are dying because even water, see, make it be person peace, make them even drink, they don't get. I hope you know there are countries that even when they want to urinate, they put cup and pour inside and then they recycle the urine. You are blessed, you even select water to drink, yet you are complaining. God! Indeed, the right hand of God has held every one of us. Hallelujah. Number four. Oh dear. Our time, eh? The right hand of God means joy. The right hand of God means joy. Joy that doesn't crash. Joy that does not have hype. Permit me to use modern day English. Hype. Joy that is not just hyping. You know, some of us are so overexcited when we are hyped. This kind of joy of the Lord, the joy of the Lord is strength. When they sing, I've got joy, 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 oh joy, 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 overflow. You will not know the meaning. Wait till when you are falling into a trouble. Something has troubled your heart. And then when one single iota of joy comes, it's like you have been birthed again. It's like a rebirth. When joy comes into you, it is holistic. God. The joy of God does not disappear after a night. The joy of the Lord, it does not depend on who texted you or who called you. The joy of the Lord is what is called the inner peace. Do you know our problem at times? We claim to be happy, but we don't have peace. These are two different things. You are happy, you are excited. Joy and peace, you don't have. So your happiness can come for a moment. Your excitement can come for a moment. It is triggered by events. Inner peace is given by the peace that comes from Jesus Christ. For you to have that complete joy, he says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. Now he get peace. Pata, pata. When you dwell on the preceding word, you put that word inside of you. It means you have carried the Prince of Peace on your inside. You have joy, which is strength. The Bible says, at my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. I think that is Deuteronomy. Please look for that scripture for me. It says, at thy right hand, there are pleasures evermore. People of God, listen. Listen to me very well. Anything you call excitement, anything that you call an emotion, a positive emotion now, can be found in the word of God. Pleasures in the world. Now, not pleasures on the negative side. Because sometimes when we read scripture, we want to give it modern day English translation. Sometimes it doesn't work. Please hear me. Sometimes it doesn't work. Listen, when we talk about the pleasures of that scripture is talking about, we are talking about joy. We are talking of righteousness. We are talking of all those attributes that concerns God. All those things, all the, what do you call them now? What scripture is that? Okay, Psalm 16:11 is one. There's also one in Deuteronomy. Psalm 16. Please give me that Psalm 16:11, right? It says there are pleasures, people of God. Listen to me. Forever means it doesn't have an expiry date. It means no emotional crash. Hiya. God's joy doesn't just ghost you. I like this language. You know, when you want to scam person these days, they say, "My ghost town." This is our generation here. The Lord is good. Our generations are blessed in the name of Jesus. Then carry scam, call and ghost. Say, "Man, this guy has been ghosting me since." I like when I listen to those languages. But sometimes it's good to call it what it is. God cannot scam you. The joy of the Lord can never be a scam. The pleasures of Christ is not scam. It's not, there are what are called earthly pleasures. These are godly pleasures. Yes. You will show me the path to life. Okay, yeah. And in your presence is fullness of joy. Please, are you seeing that fullness of joy? That means the joy is full. That joy means the peace that comes in Christ. It says, "At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." People of God, it has no expiry date. It is not moved by emotion. When you dwell in the word of God, you will find a path to life. You will find direction. When you dwell in the word of God, you will find in your presence, in the presence of God, when you are there, you have the fullness of joy. People of God, this is what the word of God does to you. It takes you and puts you where God is. So that's why you find yourself in the presence of God. The word picks you and drops you where God is. And he says, at that place, there are pleasures forevermore. Can we rise even as we pray? People of God, listen to me. You don't need to prove yourself to anybody. You only need to prove yourself by the word of God. You don't need to prove to anybody who you are. Just prove who you are by the word of God. You are living and dwelling in the word. That is what we are admonishing you to do today. Live by the standard of the word. Dwell in it. Chew this word. I told you, this year, we must all be transformed in the name of Jesus. This year, we will dwell on the word. Listen, don't be moved by what people say about you. Don't worry. What does the word say about me? In the preceding word, there is everything that pertains to your life. Whatever you think you are passing through, there is a word for you in the scripture. You just need to find it. You will find every word you are looking for in the name of Jesus. See, but when you open the scripture to read, the word will just be bouncing and coming off to you as if it is just like magic. The word will be coming to you. The rhema will be opening unto you. Rhema, the understanding of the scripture will be made available to you when you beckon on God in the name of Jesus. Can you ask yourself this question? Do I really carry the peace of God? Do I really carry that joy that comes from His throne? Do I carry that peace? What are those things that have troubled me? That means those things have taken away my peace. What are those things that easily beset me? Those things have carried away my peace. I hope so many of us wrote yesterday when we spoke about emotion. I hope you were sincere with what you wrote. To some of us, it's even all of them, man of God. All the five, to some of us, is catching all of us. It's catching them. The whole five emotions you wrote, and even more, because you live lost. Including lost is there. Emotion is an emotion. To some, there is even more. So if you have written one, I think you should better go and write again. What are those things that have taken you from the love of God? What are those things that have taken you from being in His presence? What are those things that make His path not to be clear for you? You will find the right direction in the name of Jesus. You will find the right direction in the name of Jesus. People of God, I always want you, when we come to this point, it is a time for sober reflection. I want you to reflect into your life. Look into your life. I love this point. This is the part I love most about sermon delivery. People of God, you must look inwards. How does this affect me? Look on the inside. Where have I fallen short? Where have I come short? Just look on the inside and ask yourself this question. Where is it I have missed the mark? And if I'm getting it, how do I improve on it? If I've not missed anything, according to my calculation, how do I improve it? How do I make it better? Kind to some of us, it is greed. That emotion, greed. They will tell you, there's a business. When you bring 1 million, then you bring two more people that will bring 1 million. That means you, from your cohort, you have deposited 3 million. Then they will now come and say, okay, you, because of those two people you've bought, see 50,000 naira. They will give you, what is 50,000 compared to 3 million that you have spent? People of God, it is those that are greedy that fall for those things. Greed has made some of us. That is why you find some of us going to gamble, bet Niger, sporty bet, and the likes. Bet King, I suspect you guys. Bet King and the rest, don't worry. I understand, we watch it on TV. There are so many bets this day. But do you know it is actually greed that pushes us there? You want to make money by becoming a fortune teller. you want to predict the future. So Chelsea will beat Arsenal by 5 goals. Somebody shout amen. Praise be the name of God. But please get the essence of what we're saying here. Just look into your life. What is that thing that has taken me? Please, people of God, I want you to think. This is not time to pray. It is time to get it right. But first of all, knowing it before we pray about it. Because if you do not know it, our prayer is useless. You must first of all know that thing that takes you from the presence of God. Is it greed? Some of us is excessive work. I'm not saying don't work. Please, I never said that. But we must look for that thing. We must find that thing. As some of us, it is the kind of friends we keep. Some of us, is the kind of conversation we keep. Some of us, it is because we don't even read the Bible. People of God, you must locate that one where you are lacking. And if you have done that this morning, please, can you present it before God now? You are the one to pray for yourself today. Can you present it before God? That, Father, this thing has become a stumbling block in my life. From today, I leave it. People of God, God will never help you to stop something. You will stop and God blesses it. You will stop that negative habit and God establishes it. I am a living proof of that. Somebody cannot tell me that you are used to one alcoholism and then you tell me that in Allah, I have somebody. No, it is you that will stop it. God has never helped you to start the habit. God shouldn't be the one. It is your decisions that make you change the habits. It is your mindset that makes you change that. So people of God, can you begin to commit it before God and say, Father, my mindset, my orientation about this matter has changed this day in the name of Jesus. Can you make that a proper stand? Tell God that I stand on the decision to give my back to that evil, that I will continue to do that which is in the path of God, so that his right hand of righteousness can uphold me. Father, be glorified, O God. I speak to your life this day that doors will open for you in the name of Jesus. The right hand of God will open doors for you in the name of Jesus. I speak to your life that everything that concerns negativeness will not be to your portion in the name of Jesus. Can you open your mouth and make this declaration with me? Say, I fight every hate. I fight every anger. I fight every offense. I fight every unforgiveness. Out of my life in the name of Jesus. Say, I fight every negative emotion out of my life. Can you just make that a prayer? Every negative thing, emotion, everything of hate, anger, these are the things that have taken us away from the presence of God. That is why his right hand seems to be far from us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can you just say with me, I drop every wrong hands. I drop every wrong hands. I uphold the right hand of Christ. And I will hold on to his right hand. I will not be lost. I will not be pressured. I will not miss my path. My future is secured. My future is secured. And I am secured in Christ. Can you just make that a prayer on Thanksgiving? Thank you for your word. Father, may every one of us be delivered into your right hand in the name of Jesus. Father, we are separated from every yoke of sin. We are separated from every yoke of imaginations. We are separated from every yoke of emotions. We are separated from every yoke that comes from our undoing of the things of God. In the name of Jesus. From today, we will dwell even in the proceeding word that your right hand of righteousness, your victorious right hand will hold us, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, mighty Father, for this and many more blessings. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' mighty name. Can your amen be louder?